ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो थर्ड चैप्टर नंबर 31 एंड वर्स 13। यस्त्वत्र बद्ध इव कर्मभिः अवृतात्मा। यस्त्वत्र बद्ध इव कर्मभिः अवृतात्मा। व्हाट वाज इट अगेन? यस्त्वत्र बद्ध इव कर्मभिः अवृतात्मा। भूतेन्द्रियाश्च यमायम् अवलम्ब्य मायम् हस्ते विशुद्धम् अविकारम् अखण्डबोधम् आतप्यमान हृदये वशितं नमामि। यस्त्वत्र बद्ध इव कर्मभिरवृतात्मा। भूतेन्द्रियाश्च मयम् अवलम्ब्य मायम् हस्ते विशुद्धम् अविकारम् अखण्डबोधम् आतप्यमान हृदये वशितं नमामि। वर्ड फॉर वर्ड मीनिंग यह हु तू ऑल्सो अत्र हेयर बद्धः बाउंड इव एज इफ कर्म भी बाय एक्टिविटीज आवृत कवर्ड आत्मा द प्योर सोल भूत द ग्रॉस एलिमेंट्स इंद्रिय द सेंसेस आशय द माइंड मयिम consisting of avalambya having fallen mayam into maya aste remains vishuddham completely pure avikaram without change akhanda bodham possessed of unlimited knowledge atapyamana repentant हृदये इन द हार्ट अवसितम डिजाइडिंग नमामि आई ऑफर माय रिस्पेक्टफुल ओबेसेंसेस। ट्रांसलेशन बाय डिवाइन कृष्ण प्रभुपाद। आई द प्योर सोल अपीयरिंग नाउ बाउंड बाय माय एक्टिविटीज एम लाइंग इन द वूम ऑफ माय मदर बाय द अरेंजमेंट ऑफ माया। आई ऑफर माय रिस्पेक्टफुल ओबेसेंसेस अनटू हिम who is also here with me but who is unaffected and changeless. He is unlimited but he is perceived in the repentant heart. To him I offer my respectful obeisances. Translation, you can repeat after me. I, the pure soul, appearing now,
bound by my
activities, am lying in the womb of my mother,
by the arrangement of Maya,
I offer my respectful obeisances
unto him
who is also here with me,
but who is unaffected and changeless.
He is unlimited, but he is perceived in the repentant heart. To him I offer my respectful obeisances. Purport. As stated in the previous verse, the Jiva soul says, I take shelter of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, constitutionally, the Jiva soul is the subordinate servitor of the Supreme Lord, Supreme Soul, the Personality of Godhead. Both the Supreme Soul and the Jiva soul are sitting in the same body as confirmed in the Upanishads. They are sitting as friends, but one is suffering and the other is aloof from suffering. In this verse it is said, Vishuddham Avikaram Akhanda Bodham. The Super Soul is always sitting apart from all contamination. The living entity is contaminated and suffering because he has a material body. But that does not mean that because the Lord is also with him, he also has a material body. He is Avikaram, changeless. He is always the same Supreme. But unfortunately, the Mayavadi philosophers, because of their impure hearts, cannot understand that the Supreme Soul, the Super Soul, is different from the individual soul. It is said here, Atapyamana Hridaya Vasitam. He is in the heart of every living entity, but he can be realized only by a soul who is repentant. The individual soul becomes repentant that he forgot his constitutional position, wanted to become one with the Supreme Lord, Supreme Soul, and tried his best to lord it over material nature. He has been baffled and therefore he is repentant. At that time, the Super Soul, or the relationship between Super Soul and the individual soul, is realized. As it is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, after many, many births, the knowledge comes to the conditioned soul that Vasudeva is great. He is the master, he is the Lord. The individual soul is a servant and therefore he surrenders unto him. At that time, he becomes a Mahatma, a great soul. Therefore, a fortunate living being who comes to this understanding even within the womb of his mother has his liberation assured.
Om Jnanat Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasmaya Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripasindubhyavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurvani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So we are continuing from the prayers of the child within the womb of the mother. This is the second prayer. Yesterday the first prayer, where Jantu Ruvacha, the living entity, human soul within the womb, is offering his prayer. And the soul within the womb, the living entity within the womb, comes to this prayerful mood by going through the suffering which a child in the womb has to face. And there is a very graphic description in previous verses of this chapter how the child suffers in the womb. Where for others it's a happy event, but for the child in the womb it's not at all happy. It's very painful. So continuing from there, in that very painful condition, very fortunate souls can get remembrance of the Lord, and then those souls, how they can pray, or how they offer their prayers to the Lord, is described in the following verses. So today's prayer, if we see, it's very amazing. Actually, it's like a very realized prayer. to be realized. You don't have to be of a certain age. A child in the womb also is having very realized prayers. Where he's saying, I, the pure soul, appearing now bound by my activities, I'm lying in the womb of my mother. So this child within the womb is also understanding that I'm pure soul, which is completely uncontaminated by all the material atmosphere. So there is a verse in the Upanishads which talks about the eternality of the soul. That soul is completely non-material. That verse says, Nitya Nitya Nam Chetanas Chetana Nam Eka Bahunam Javidati Kama. So we, the tiny living entities, are also spiritual, means eternal. There is no birth, there was never a time we were born, as Bhagavad Gita says. And there will never be a time when we, the living entity, will be annihilated. The journey of the soul continues in different bodies. And the Supreme Lord is also Nitya, He is also eternal. He is also conscious, and we are also conscious of ourselves. But our consciousness is very, very limited, because our consciousness is only restricted to our own bodies, and that is also not fully. But for the Supreme Lord, His consciousness is very, very much in tune with all the living entities from all the planets, from anywhere in all the universes. So, but the last line of that verse is very interesting. Eka bahunam jo vididati kama. But the difference, the very difference between us and the Supreme Lord is that He is the one who is maintaining all living entities, which includes, we are one of them actually, which includes us. So that's a very major difference in us and the Supreme Lord. So now, if we are spiritual, if we are eternal, then a very common question which can come is that something which is completely pure, completely spiritual, like the first line of the verse is, I, the pure soul, how come the soul comes in contact with material atmosphere, which is not at all the nature of the soul? It's very different. So, and immediately when the living entity is praying in the womb, it says, I, the pure soul, immediately the words are used by Prabhupada is, appearing now bound by my activities. It appears. So the pure soul, it appears that we, actually when we say pure soul, it'll be more productive if we say us, than pure soul, because when you say pure soul, it looks like you're talking about someone else. So when we as pure living entities, it appears that we are bound by material atmosphere. That's exactly what it says. By my activities, by the material contamination. So it appears that us, who is a completely pure living entity, is bound by material atmosphere. But how does that whole thing happen? Lord Kapila, in similar sections, he will, not exactly the same chapter, but he gives the example of moon. The reflection of the moon on the water, when the water moves, it appears that the moon is also moving on the water. But actually it has nothing to do with the moon, but it does appear that the moon is also moving. Or the other example is when we look at the sky and the clouds are moving, it appears that because the movement of the cloud is there, the moon also moves. Sometimes kids would say, oh, when they are going in the car, that moon is following us. It's coming with us. Even though we have gone kilometers away, but moon is still with us. So that is that perception, it's illusory perception. It sounds little, it's hard to actually understand this, because it's very theory, it's a theory for us that I have nothing to do with this material atmosphere. Whereas if we see ourselves, we have everything to do with material atmosphere, the way we are bound up. We have all the connections, all the feelings, everything that comes. It appears that we are part of this. And to say that we are soul, who is not this body and mind, appears a little vague in the beginning of devotional service. That yeah, it's a nice theory, but it's hard to digest it. So, but Bhagavatam is speaking on a very, speaking from a very transcendental point of view, which we all have to come up to. So, you know, soul, which is us, because of our voluntary choice, of our own individual choice to come in contact with this material nature, which is, we have heard so many times, trying to enjoy separate from the Lord, where a nice example is given, that a small child is there and he's forcing his father that he wants to have, wants to drive the car. But father knows that it's not possible for you to drive a car. So father arranges a situation or a mock atmosphere where the child, even after trying to convince him that you cannot drive a car, who is so forceful, that he arranges a situation for the child where he can have facility, where he can drive a mock car, which may not be like an original car, and he'll not meet any accident, which the father is worried about. And he'll feel that, yes, I am in the control of the car. So through that similar situation, we, when living entity desires to be separate from the Lord, no one is forcing the living entity to come in material contact, actually. And that's why the scripture says it's a volunteer choice. It's a volunteer choice of the living entity to come in contact with the material energy. We'll talk about it, how gradually then the soul, the living entity is struggling and it's caught. But then as soon as the living entity comes in contact with the material atmosphere, the two very powerful potencies of material energy, which are avaranatmika and prakhyapatmika, it actually binds us. Avaranatmika means it covers up. It covers up the reality. It makes it look that we have nothing to do with our spiritual identities. And that's called avaran. Avaran means it covers up. And prakhyapatmika, it actually pulls the soul down to even further material pool. Now, if you're having a fight and someone is beating you, it's easy to defend or run away or fight back. But if someone fully covers you up and then beats you, it's very hard. It's a very precarious situation for the person who is getting the beatings. Few of my friends, they would ride bikes and they would tell this story. And at a particular checkpoint, police would stop them. Hey, Prasad, you can close the door also. So that particular policeman would stop them. And so once what these boys decided, they went in the night, this policeman was alone. They covered him so that he doesn't know who did it, and they started beating him. So they were beating the policeman, and then he was still covered and they ran away, and policeman has no idea who has done it. You know? So our situation is pretty much like that. That material energy covers up and then beats us up. We struggle, and then when we realize, we don't know what happened. And then life continues. Again we are covered up. Again we are beaten. And no one questions. No one realizes. No one thinks that why I'm suffering. Why these problems are coming to me. Because you're covered up. That's exactly how the energy of that Maya Devi Shakti, that energy works. That it makes us feel that everything is okay. Even though we are suffering, it's designed in a way. And that's why in the purport later we'll discuss how the Lord can be only realized by a soul who is repentant, who understands that I am doing a mistake, I am suffering, I need help, please take me out. Who can understand that he's getting covered and beaten up again and again? Because for most of the people, this philosophy doesn't work. It's part of life. To suffer is part of life. That's covering. That's the amazing covering of the material energy. So even in, you know, when we talk about the covering of the soul, this is just the covering of the false ego, which makes a soul feels that he has identification with the body. Then there is covering of contaminated intelligence. Then there is covering of even contaminated mind. Then this is a subtle covering. And then there is a gross covering also on us, which is, so it is so thick covering that it's very hard for the soul to even think out of it, think beyond it. How much energy it would take when devotees come and they try to preach us, try to help us out, or when Prabhupada came to cut through this covering, reach to the soul and shake the soul up that you have a spiritual relationship. You are spiritual by nature, you have a relationship with God. You know, many times Prabhupada's disciples, they narrate their pastimes with Prabhupada, they say, Prabhupada was looking through us and touching the soul. It's not easy. If you're talking to someone, most of the time, you can just relate to the mind. You can just relate to the mind of the person. To cut through that and touch the soul and shake the person up, and the person understands the spiritual nature of his own self, at least the need of it, and then works on it, it takes a lot of spiritual strength from the person who's doing it. You know, the classic example of when Amrish Hari Prabhu, Alfred Fort that time, met Prabhupada. Just one statement of Prabhupada really cut through, that where is your great-grandfather Henry Ford now? Where is he gone? And that was such a sharp statement of Prabhupada when one of the shareholders or owners of Ford motor car, Alfred Ford, when he went and saw Prabhupada, devotees were very excited because someone so big has come to see Prabhupada. But Prabhupada was not interested in how big he is based on the body and based on the relationships he has with big family. Prabhupada was really trying to reach the soul out while talking to Alfred Ford. And to make a very strong point to him, Prabhupada made a very, very powerful statement that you think you're so great because you're great-grandson of Henry Ford, but where is he now? It's gone, the body is gone. Where is the entity? Who are you? Just one statement was enough to cut through. So like that, there are so many examples. So in 11th canto, there is a nice pastime of Avanti Brahman. In chapter 23rd, his whole journey, his whole painful situation is explained, how he is bereft of all the money, all the wealth he has, and then his prayers are given. So one of the prayers, I'll just read the translation. He says, the false ego gives shape to illusory material existence and thus experiences material happiness and distress. The soul, the spiritual soul, however, is transcendental to material nature. He can never actually be affected by material happiness and distress in any place, under any circumstance or by agency of any person. Then he says, a person who understands this has nothing whatsoever to fear from this material creation. That nothing of this place can actually affect me. It's a very superior, very advanced understanding. But this little advancement is required to appreciate this understanding also. And for that, we really need the mercy of the devotees and the Lord, that at least we can appreciate how superior this understanding is. Because if you tell a common person outside that you don't experience, actually you have nothing to do with material happiness and distress, he literally may call cat team or something, you know, it's gone person, gone crazy, you know, some mental adjustment is required. Because this concept is very hard to digest, that I have nothing to do with material happiness and distress. But Bhagavatam, because it's a Amala Puran, it's a pure transcendental literature, it gives a very, very lofty, very high understanding. And then Parampara purports, purports by Acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, actually takes us from our level to at least gives us a glimpse where we can appreciate what this very advanced understanding is talking about. Otherwise, on common platform, it's practically not possible to understand that I have nothing to do with material happiness and distress. Guru Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in 14th verse of 2nd chapter, just tolerate the happiness and distress. Just tolerate. You are spiritual by nature. Just tolerate it. It's not easy. It's not easy to tolerate happiness and distress. Like summer and winter comes. Just tolerate it. It's hard. So, and this false ego, which is practically controlling the living entity, false ego means false identification with matter or with illusory world or with happiness or distress of this place. This false ego gets more nourished or more strengthened by putting the fuel, by increasing our material desires and acting on them. You know, in Bhagavad Gita 3rd chapter 39th verse, Krishna says that avrittam jnanam etena jnanino nitya vairinam kama rupena konteya dushpurena analena cha. Thus the wise living entity's pure consciousness becomes covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. Some philosophers would say, when you have lust, feed it so much that you become detached from it. Feed it so much that your attachment or your desire to attain more material things will go away. But that detachment may come, but it's very momentary. It's exactly like Shamshan Viragya or detachment in crematorium. When a person is fully busy in his life, trying to get as much as possible, and then that person dies. And when relatives go and see the death ceremony of that person, either he's buried or he's burnt, then detachment comes in the heart. Oh, such a nice person he was. But what is the use of all material things? It anyways comes and goes. What can you see him taking anything with him? Nothing. He came with nothing. Then all this philosophy comes. He came with nothing. He's going without anything now. But then when we come out of the gate, all the soberness, all the gravity is gone again, because it's very momentary. And same happens with those people who say that you feed lust so much, you may get dissatisfied by too much feeding and too much of engaging yourself, and you take a break from it, but you cannot get rid of it. It happens with us also. Oh, there is a pizza party. Okay, yes, we eat pizza. We eat a whole pizza, two pizzas. And then next day we don't want to see pizza, but third day we do want to see pizza again. Second day we may not be interested in eating pizza or something very delicious, but third, fourth, fifth day we again ask for it. So it's the same mentality. So it doesn't work like that. Yeah. Krishna is saying, do not fuel the fire. Do not give the fuel of lusty material desires. Stop fueling. And then you can see a change. In this verse, actually, interesting comparison is there, where the material desires or this lust is compared to nitya vairinam, its eternal enemy. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying that I am Suhrida, I am eternal well-wisher. He's claiming that he is eternal well-wisher of all the living entities. And by this verse we understand that lust or intense material desires are eternal enemies of the soul. But see, the covering up of the material energy is that we think that this is eternal well-wisher. This is eternal friend of mine, fulfilling my material desires or my intense material desires. When we say material desires, it's not rejecting all material desires, any material desires, talking about those material desires which takes us away from our reality of our relationship with the Lord. So, those material desires for us are actually friends in conditioned state, in our contaminated state. Whereas Krishna is talking something very opposite. So, in Mundaka Upanishad, in Shvetashvatara Upanishad also, that very popular verse comes that on a tree, there are two birds sitting. Two birds are sitting on a tree. That example, very common. It says that although the two birds are in the same tree, so these two birds are a comparison where one of the bird is us, the soul, and the second bird is the Supreme Lord, Paramatma, who is also residing within us, with us. So it says, although the two birds are in the same tree, the eating bird, which is us, who is enjoying the fruits, the soul, which is acting, is fully engrossed with anxiety and moroseness as the enjoyer of the fruits of the tree. It's us. Full. Actually, these two words very well match with the person who is completely in material consciousness. Always in anxiety and always morose. Anxiety for more and more, morose because couldn't get what he wanted to get. What is that verse? Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Sochati Na Kangshati Na Shoshati Na Kangshati. Hankering and lamentation. This hankering and lamentation causes anxiety and moroseness. I want more and more and more. I can't get it, so I hanker for it. And then, because I'm not able to achieve what I want to achieve, then lamentation follows that. So, we don't have to go far. Just we can see our own selves. If we are actually doing some service for the Supreme Lord, for His pleasure, and we want to achieve some big results in that, hankering, lamentation doesn't come and hits us hard the way it hits when we act on a material platform. Even though we may be after results, we may be after some achievements, certain books. We go out for book distribution and then we are trying hard and hard and hard. If the consciousness is for Krishna's pleasure, then books may go or may not go. We don't become morose. We don't become morose. Because there is a happiness that is experienced even if books doesn't happen. Because the attitude while on the street was very much to serve the Lord. Of course, the devotee does feel that I'll try different ways, become more expert. But that moroseness which is very discouraging doesn't come. He's even more enthusiastic. He's more encouraged to go out and do some service. But on material platform, if we go out to hear a big score, and then if books doesn't happen, it is a killer. Then you can see on the faces, oh, it was such a waste of time. A situation can be a waste of time, but it doesn't kill you within. So this difference is very interesting. And to counter this kama rupena, this intense material lusty desire, there is a very nice bhajan by Narottam Das Thakur. I'll not sing it. My meters are not very good in singing. But it says, Krishna seva kama arpane. Because it is talking about all the six vices, lust, anger, greed, madness, envy, illusion. So he's Narottam Das Thakur is giving a solution, and the bhajan itself is Anya Abhilasha Shadi, is give up your material desires. And it's a massive bhajan with 20 verses in it. But this two verses are very important related to the topic, so I'll discuss that. It says, Krishna seva kam arpana krodha bhakta dveshi jane lobha sadhu sangha hari katha
ಮೋಹ ಇಷ್ಟ ಲಾಭವಿನೆ ಮದ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗುಣಗಾನೆ ಮುಕ್ತಿಯ ಕೊರಿಬೆ ಯಥಾತಥ. ಇಟ್ ಸೇಸ್, ಹಿ ಸೇಸ್, ಮೈ ಲಸ್ಟ್, ಮೈ ಇಂಟೆನ್ಸ್ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಡಿಸೈರ್ಸ್, ದ ಹ್ಯಾಂಕರಿಂಗ್ ವಿಚ್ ಐ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಗೇನ್ ಮೋರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಮೋರ್ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್, ದಟ್ ಐ ವಿಲ್ ಎಂಗೇಜ್ ಇನ್ ಆಫರಿಂಗ್ ದ ಫ್ರೂಟ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೈ ವರ್ಕ್ ಫಾರ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್. ದಟ್ ಐ ವಿಲ್ ಎಂಗೇಜ್ ಕಾಮಕೃಷ್ಣ ಅರ್ಪಣೆ, ದಟ್ ದಟ್ ಮೈ ಇಂಟೆನ್ಸ್ ಡಿಸೈರ್ ಟು ಅಚೀವ್ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್, ಐ ವಿಲ್ ಆಫರ್ ಇಟ್ ಟು ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವಿತ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಮೂಡ್ ಅ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಎಂಗೇಜ್ ಇನ್ ಡಿವೋಷನಲ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಇಟ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಬಿ ಎನಿ ಡಿವೋಷನಲ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್. ದಿಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಸೂನ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಅವರ್ ಕಿಚನ್ ಓಪನ್. ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಅ ಇಂಟೆನ್ಸ್ ಪ್ರಾಜೆಕ್ಟ್, ಮ್ಯಾಸಿವ್ ಪ್ರಾಜೆಕ್ಟ್. ಮಾತಾಜಿ ವಾಸ್ ಟೆಲಿಂಗ್ ಚಿಂತರು ಮಾತಾಜಿ, ಇಟ್ ವಾಸ್ ಡಿಸೈರ್ ಫಾರ್ ಮೋರ್ ದೆನ್ 25 years. ಸೊ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಅ ಡಿಸೈರ್, ರೈಟ್? ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಅ ವೆರಿ ಸ್ಟ್ರಾಂಗ್ ಡಿಸೈರ್ ವಿಚ್ ಮೇಡ್ ಇಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್ ವಿತ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಹೆಲ್ಪ್. ಬಟ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಆಫರಿಂಗ್ ಟು ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್, ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಆಫರಿಂಗ್ ಫಾರ್ ದ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್. ಸೊ ದಟ್ ಇಂಟೆನ್ಸ್ ಡಿಸೈರ್, ವೆನ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಆಫರ್ ಟು ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್, ಇಟ್ ಪ್ಯೂರಿಫೈಸ್, ಇಟ್ ಚೇಂಜಸ್ ದ ಹೋಲ್ ಈಕ್ವೇಷನ್. ಟು ಕಲೆಕ್ಟ್ 2.2 million ಆರ್ ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್, ಇಫ್ ಔಟ್ಸೈಡ್ ಸಮನ್ ಗೋಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಅರ್ನ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ಮಚ್ ಮನಿ, ಯು ನೋ ಹೌ ಮಚ್ ಕಂಟಾಮಿನೇಷನ್ ಇಟ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬ್ರಿಂಗ್ ಆನ್ ದಟ್ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಟು ಅರ್ನ್ ದಟ್ ಮಚ್ ಮನಿ ಅಂಡ್ ಇನ್ವೆಸ್ಟ್ ಸಮ್ವೇರ್. ಬಟ್ ಹೇರ್ ದ ಸೇಮ್ ಇಂಟೆನ್ಸ್ ವರ್ಕ್ ವಿಚ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಗಾನ್ ಟು ಗೆಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಕಿಚನ್ ಡನ್, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ದ ಮನಿ ವಿಚ್ ವಾಸ್ ಪ್ರಾಕ್ಟಿಕಲಿ ಕಲೆಕ್ಟೆಡ್ ಬೈ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಡೊನೇಷನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಅದರ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್, ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಪ್ಯೂರಿಫೈಡ್, ಲಿಬರೇಟೆಡ್ ದ ಕಾನ್ಷಿಯಸ್ನೆಸ್, ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್. ಸೊ ವೆನ್ ದ ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ಚೇಂಜಸ್, ದ ರಿಸಲ್ಟ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಚೇಂಜಸ್. ದ ವರ್ಕ್ ಮೇ ಚೇಂಜ್ ಆರ್ ಮೇ ನಾಟ್ ಚೇಂಜ್, ಬಟ್ ವೆನ್ ದ ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ಚೇಂಜಸ್, ದ ರಿಸಲ್ಟ್ ಚೇಂಜಸ್. ಇಟ್ ಸೇಸ್, ಆಂಗರ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ, ಐ ವಿಲ್ ಡೈರೆಕ್ಟ್ ಮೈ ಆಂಗರ್ ಟುವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ದ ಎನಿಮೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್, ಬೈ ಎಜುಕೇಟಿಂಗ್ ದೆಮ್, ಬೈ ಸ್ಟ್ರಾಂಗ್ಲಿ ಎಜುಕೇಟಿಂಗ್ ದೆಮ್. ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಹನುಮಾನ್ ಇಸ್ ಒನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಗೋಸ್ ಆನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೇನ್ಸ್ ಹೌ ಗ್ರೀಡ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ಕರ್ವ್ಡ್, ಹೌ ಇಲ್ಯೂಷನ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ಕರ್ವ್ಡ್, ಹೌ ಮ್ಯಾಡ್ನೆಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಕರ್ವ್ಡ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಹೀ ಗಿವ್ಸ್ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ರೀಸನ್ಸ್. ಬಟ್ ಇನ್ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಎಸ್, ಇಫ್ ಲಸ್ಟ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಕಂಟ್ರೋಲ್ಡ್, ಇಫ್ ದಿಸ್ ಇಂಟೆನ್ಸ್ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಡಿಸೈರ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಕಂಟ್ರೋಲ್ಡ್, ದೆನ್ ಇಟ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ಸ್ ದ ಬ್ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಗ್ರೌಂಡ್ ಫಾರ್ ಅ ಹೋಸ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ವೈಸಸ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಚೆಕ್ಸ್ ಒನ್ ಅಡ್ವಾನ್ಸ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಆನ್ ಪಾತ್ ಆಫ್ ಡಿವೋಷನಲ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್. However, if one stays in association of saintly devotees, then that association will carry him beyond the influence of lust, anger and their friends. So this there is another bhajan which is O Vaishnava Thakur Dayara Sagar, where a devotee is praying to the Vaishnavas, please keep me in your shelter, keep me in your association so that I can give up these 6 vices. Chaye bega domi, chaye dosha sadi, chaye guna deho dasse. Just keep me with you so that I can give up these 6 vices, which is lust, anger, greed, envy, madness, illusion. So, with that understanding, only one can come to the stage of repentance. When one at least theoretically is convinced of our position in relationship with the Lord, then only a repentant heart can be there. And what is that repentance? That repentance is that, my Lord, I understand my material situation. I understand where I am stuck. Now I need help. Now I really need help. Please keep me very close to your devotees association. Keep me very close to those who will keep reminding me how my spiritual nature is different from my material nature, from my material consciousness. So, humility is very crucial. That's why in devotional life, humility is very, very important, because unless one is humble, one will never repent. Because the way mind tricks or mind works is, it always blames on others. But a repentant heart is that which takes the blame on. Which takes the blame on one's own activities, which takes the blame on one's own material contamination. But if someone is not of a repentant mood, he will not easily take a blame. Those who are ready to accept blames can genuinely be repentant. Because the way mind works is it's amazing how it works. Mind is very well trained to feel that it's the most superior entity.
And if you are superior, why will you take blames? So, many times we can fall in that category where if we do some mistake, some very grievous mistake, then we become over humble. We become, it's not even humility, it's actually Prabhupada says it's self-indulgence, where we become so much morose in the name of being repentant and humility that we say, I am not qualified even to serve the Lord. So I cannot serve the Lord. Either we are overqualified to serve the Lord or we are not qualified to serve the Lord. Prabhupada actually says that this is self-indulgence. Either we are so much puffed up that I am the best servant of the Lord, no one else we should be around, or when some problem comes, then I am not qualified, I cannot chant around, I cannot do any service. So this self-indulgence is very, should be checked. Just to end, they're very nice two prayers which actually reflects or directs towards that mood of taking shelter of the Lord. Because in Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami says that for a person who has nothing to do with devotional service, who has no knowledge about him being soul and having relationship with the Lord, for him atonement is must. They do prayaschitta, atonement. And what is the atonement? Some rituals, some sacrifices they do, some puja here and there of any demigod or anything they do. And then the sinful activities which they have done or the situation from which they have fallen down is neglected or is rectified. But the problem with that is the proclivity or the intense desire to again commit that same mistake is not gone. So Rupa Goswami says, but for devotees, atonement is not required. That prayaschitta or that type of atonement is not required. In a minute, I've personally gone before becoming a devotee to some astrologers and you have this problem in your life, this is the karma, you'll face such and such issue. So what do you do? Take a coconut, put a red thread around, go to the river, throw it in a way that you don't look at the coconut again and just walk straight. Even if someone calls you, don't look back. Just keep walking. So this is atonement. This is one of the atonements. Okay. Or if some problems are coming in your life and there is no solution, you take a lock with a key, keep the lock in between the road which has four ways coming, choraha, and then whoever comes and opens the lock gets the solution to your problem. So like this is one of the follow. It's amazing how people still do it. So this is one of the solutions the astrologers will give. This opens up the problems in your life. India is very mystical. Anything, everything happens in the name of anything. So, but Rupa Goswami says for devotees, no atonement required at all. On spiritual path, if you are walking and you fall down, only thing you have to do is get up and start walking again. And that's atonement. Why? Because we are not a one-way traffic. We are dealing with the Lord where He reciprocates, where He is more interested to purify us than we are. There's so many different yoga paths. Bhakti yoga is the only path where you are not just the individual person who is endeavoring. You are not the only one who is struggling to attain perfection. The Supreme Lord is more interested than you to give you perfection. So He arranges also things. There is a nice pastime actually when Prabhupada's disciple, when Mataji came with a child in her hand. She was just carrying the baby. I forgot the name of that Mataji. And Prabhupada said, which is a better way? Cat carrying the kitten in her mouth or baby monkey holding the mother's back? And that Mataji couldn't understand what Prabhupada means. He says, which is a better way? Mother cat carrying the kitten in her mouth or a baby monkey holding the mother from the back? So that Mataji surrenders, sorry Prabhupada, I don't understand what you mean. Then Prabhupada explains, that Jnana Yoga or Hatha Yoga, like or yoga exercise and all we do, or Jnana Yoga, speculation, mental speculation is like baby monkey holding mother's back. And Bhakti Yoga is like mother cat holding the kitten in the mouth. So the baby monkey which is holding the mother, the responsibilities of the baby monkey and his strength to keep holding on to the mother. Otherwise when the mother is running, he'll fall. Or she'll fall. The baby will fall. Of course, mother may pick up, but the example, for the example's sake. But in cat and kitten's example, it is completely mother's responsibility when she's holding the kitten in the mouth. She says, in Prabhupada was saying that Bhakti Yoga is like cat and kitten because Krishna also takes full responsibility of the sincere devotees. It's not just the devotee's endeavors. So he's caring, he's protecting the devotee. So that difference Prabhupada gives. So with that mood, I'll finish with the nice prayer where Narottam Das Thakur is saying, Haha Prabhu Nanda Suta Vrishabhanu Suta Yuta Karuna Karoy Ei Vara Narottam Dasya Kahe Natheliha Ranga Paye Tuma Bina Kya Che Amar. He says, My dear Lord, you are now present with the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, Srimati Radharani. Now both of you please be merciful upon me and don't kick me away. I have no shelter other than you. I have no shelter other than you. Even in Shikshastakam, that same word, prayer is there. I Nanda Tanuja Kinkaram. I'm just your servant. Please accept me. I don't know how and why I'm in this fallen condition, but you please accept me as a speck of dust of a lotus feet. So with that very dependent mood, living entity is also praying in the womb. And we can also, with that dependency, that shelter-seeking mode, can repent or can come out of our material consciousness and be in relationship with the Lord. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments or any corrections, Pro? Yes, Proji. Hare Krishna.
You're talking about there's two forces that are holding the soul back.
Yes.
The material world. So it seems like Maya is saying stay here.
Yeah.
Don't go, it's comfortable.
Yeah.
Why you there's nothing to do with it. Krishna is the imagination, sort of thing. So without we have all the experience of being here, we've forgotten that he's
So Prabhu's question is that Maya Devi, material energy, has two potencies, which is to cover up and then pull down a beat also. So it appears that she wants us to be here forever and Krishna is just an illusion. So but we have not seen the other side of it. We have seen sufferings here. So how to understand that? That's the question. So first of all, understand the thankless service given to the material illusion, material energy, Maya Devi, is that she wants the best to go to Krishna. She wants the best to go to Krishna. And when we say the best to go to Krishna, that's not based on discrimination. What her thankless task is to arrange a situation for us where we develop a sincere desire to go to Krishna. To develop a sincere desire to you know, now this, if you see this the whole chapter, if there is no suffering in the womb, why will the living entity pray like that? So a situation is arranged by her potencies. If everything is very happy, very well arranged, why do you want to go out? Why will you even think that this place is not for me? See, if you see the soul in every given circumstances is seeking happiness. Never the time will come when you will think, oh, from last 6 days I am happy, now some suffering is required, let's go and hit the head on the wall, you know, too much of happiness from so many days. No, every single action you do is only seeking pleasure. You may get or you may not get. That's your need. And if she arranges a situation where your needs are met, then why do you want to go somewhere else? Because you're only seeking happiness. And if she arranges a situation where you get happiness, then why will you want to attain your real nature, which is a spiritual nature? So she has to contradict your desire. Then only you feel uncomfortable. If she doesn't contradict your intense internal desire of always seeking pleasure, then you will not even think of an alternate solution. We coming here and trying to learn the science of God is because we need an alternate solution. And that's very well arranged by the Supreme Lord. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, who is Prabhupada's spiritual master, he says that if someone is sincere to go back home, back to Godhead, to attain the spiritual perfection, that same material energy facilitates everything. She makes all the arrangements for the living entity to go back to Krishna. She makes all the arrangements. You know, so many people, devotees, have given their own accounts. They say that, I was planning to go to US. Somehow it happened that I was forced to come to Australia because I didn't get US visa. And as soon as I came, in 1 month's time, I met devotees and my life changed. So now I can really thank the Lord that He was helping me to come in contact with Him through devotees here. You know, sometimes we forget, but many times I tell some students and devotees when talking that please remember we are in Australia, in Melbourne, early morning, talking about Krishna. It would have never happened if Krishna would not interfere in Maya's work. It would never happen. When we are in the temple, we forget where we are. We think like we are in Dham somewhere, or discussing, or we are in holy places. No, we are in Australia, in Melbourne, right next to the city. It's a Supreme Lord's very kind arrangement. And when He decides, when He is doing His arrangement, then material energy cannot interfere. She may put some obstacles, but because she wants a most refined living entity to go to the Supreme Lord, can you imagine, with all our contamination, we are in Goloka Vrindavan and thinking, you're thinking, iPhone 8 is coming and what am I doing here, no one is selling here. You know, our contamination, our type of contamination there. So her only task is to get us ready to go there, to make us ready to go there. Otherwise, we'll do the same mistake again. We'll do exactly the same mistake again and we'll again mess it up. And again come back and again go through all the suffering. In India, the topmost institution is IIT, one of the topmost institutions, educational institution. Anyone just cannot take admission, and that's why they have exams. What is exams meant for? Even if you are going from grade 10 to year 11, why exams are required? So that a qualified person advances. A qualified person goes to the next level. So that's exactly what material energy is doing, and that's exactly her task is. And then you cannot complain to the teacher, oh, she is very stubborn. She never lets me go to next year. You don't study. What can she do? You're not studying enough. So then you can't complain to the teacher. So that's exactly her role is. Yes. The final prayer, Aha Prabhu Nanda Sutta, Vrishabhanu Sutta Jita. Oh my Supreme Lord, you are there, Radharani is there, please keep me under your shelter, under the shelter of your devotees. And then things, the real spiritual life begins. I see you coming every day for Bhagavatam classes. When you hear Srimad Bhagavatam classes, you hear Kirtan, you chant. Don't you see a change in you? In your way of thinking? Don't you see a change in your desires? How your desires are changing or slowly drifting away or coming closer to Krishna's desire? Very slowly it may happen, but don't you see a change? A purification coming in? If you intensify it, the result will also intensify it. If you increase it, the result also increases it. So it's very much an individual's decision. And the Lord fully reciprocates based on your decision, based on your sincere desire. Prabhupada has made this whole arrangement for that reason only. Why morning program is there? Why temple management is making sure that this morning program continues to the best of the capacity? Because this is the way. This is the way out. The whole day, then services happen. This is the way out. This is the way out. Can you imagine someone going out and working and giving the result to oneself and the family nearby, their own individual families? And that same person going out, working and giving the result to the Lord. In both the cases, will Krishna not take responsibility of the person in terms of assisting him or purifying him? Because you're giving the results to him. And then on the other side, there are people, suppose someone is staying in the temple, they are not going out working and giving results for Krishna. They are working for Krishna. Will the Lord not facilitate the journey of this person, of the soul? He will. He's not a very ungrateful master. He's very kind. He becomes so obligated by any devotee's action that even if you hit a nail in his service, you may forget, he will not forget. Because he takes this as an obligation on himself. Oh, this person has done something for me. Any quality we have, God has that same quality in max, in full. So when you're going and you're getting late for your interview, you're rushing to the interview, and someone comes and tells you the address, you become grateful to that person, right? He helped you. Just for that simple, so who saved you 5-10 minutes. We have that quality of being grateful. We have some gratitude in us. We may show, sometimes we may not show. He has that gratitude in max, in full. So if you do something for him, he becomes super grateful. And what do you do when you become grateful? You do something for the other person. You do something for the other person. And that's why when we do some service for the Lord, he becomes obligated that he has to do something for us now, out of love. And that's his grateful nature. One of the 64 qualities of the Lord is he is like that. He is like that. You can't change it. If you do some service, he has to do something for you. And then your life will change. You will become purified. He has to do. You hearing about Krishna, Krishna has to purify you. Because you're hearing about him. You are spending your everyday morning 1 hour to hear about someone. And that's the Supreme Lord whose gratitude is, who has so much gratitude in as quality in himself that he has to do something for you. And he will do. Nashta prayashu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. Just by hearing Bhagavatam, your abhadra, your contamination in the heart is going. What is happening? Who is doing it? You can hear a movie story also, but contamination doesn't go. Here, because you're hearing about the Lord, he takes the responsibility to clean your consciousness. That's his greatness. And that's why we are the kitten in the mouth. It's not our strength who is making us progress. And that's why a jnani or a yogi, it's very easy for them to be puffed up. But for a devotee, it's not possible to be puffed up. Because a sincere devotee knows, what have I done to get the favor of the Lord? Practically nothing. He is so kind, he is carrying me. But a baby monkey can think, oh, it's my strength, I'm holding the mother. But we cannot. And that's why humility becomes synonymous to pure devotion service on advanced stages also. Prabhu, you want to add something? Anuradha Prabhu? Anything else? Yes, Prabhu. Time. The two potencies of material energy, avaranatmika and prakhyapatmika, it covers and pulls you down. A pure living entity, pure conscious, pure spirit soul, immediately is covered over and is pulled down. That's material potency. Huh? So in his very painful condition, he's praying like that. In his very painful condition, the living entity, a fortunate soul, huh? It's not every soul praying like that. Every soul doesn't pray like that. Fortunate soul is praying like that. And if we see Sukadeva Goswami's example, that was one of the reasons he didn't want to come out. He said, here I am safe. In the womb I am safe. As soon as I come out, I see a full flare of material energy. Then I have to deal with it. And dealing with it means contamination. So I don't want, I am happy in the womb for 16 years. we'll finish here. It's getting late. It's a weekday, working day. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Granth Sahib, Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.